appreciated. We love getting feedback. And I was thinking about this just the other day as I was driving in. I need to emphasize, if you've got a prayer request or a praise report, contact us on our email address, meritassembly@hotmail.com. That is two R's, two T's, all one word, meritassembly@hotmail.com. No spaces, no underspaces or anything like that. meritassembly@hotmail.com. Let us know what your prayer requests and praise reports. You know, we're about 8.5 years into this, and you know, if God's done something good in your life, we would love to celebrate with you. Also, coming up this weekend, we have a special guest speaker that is going to be with us. Oh, no, I'm sorry. That is not this week. That's next week. Look at my dates and get that right. I'll be preaching this Sunday, and would love to have you come and be a part of that. Today, we're going to go back to Acts chapter 26. I'm not going to read the entire passage like I did yesterday. I'm just going to read verse number 24, 25, 26, 27, and then we're going to dive back into this passage. Verse number 24, Acts chapter 26. Now, as he thus made his defense, Festus said with a loud voice, "Paul, you are beside yourself. Much learning is driving you mad." But he, Paul, said, "I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak the words of truth and reason. For the king, before whom I also speak freely, knows these things, for I am convinced that none of these things escaped his attention, since this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know that you do believe." So yesterday we started talking about this thing that is partnered with truth, and that is truth and reason. Being a Christian is not unreasonable. Being a Christian is not because, oh, you're just so weak, you can't make it on your own, you got to have a crutch, you know, all of that sort of nonsense that that people try and label Christians. I want you to know that it takes men and women of faith and courage and tenacity, perseverance, to stand for Christ in a fallen world. Anybody can follow the crowd. Anybody can follow the crowd. But people who know their God will do great exploits, and it is perfectly reasonable. Listen, I believe that it takes, it is perfectly sound judgment to put my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't have enough faith to be an atheist. I do have enough faith, because God gave it to me, to put it to use so that I can put my faith and trust and life and purpose into the hands of Almighty God. So just so you know what we are talking about here, where in other passages it might be talking about contending for the faith or defending the faith, there is a sophisticated title given to that area or arena where people are making the mental or the logical claims for Christianity. And the name of that is apologetics. Apologetics. It kind of sounds like apology, but you are not apologizing for the gospel. You are actually defending the gospel. And so Josh McDowell was one of the first people that I heard do this. I have a minister friend of mine whose daughter and son-in-law, this is the area of their expertise. They are actively going out and engaging in conversations with people, and they are presenting the gospel in a reasonable manner. I brought something with me today. At Merit Assembly of God, every person that attends Merit Assembly of God, every person that is ministered to by Merit Assembly of God, is able to access media that is produced through Right Now Media Ministries. And if you would like to be a part of that, you can write the church and say, hey, could I have access to that library of Christian materials? And we will send you a little bookmark. You can, it's got a QR code on it. It's got a universal link on it. It's got a text that you can activate your account. It's a free account. We pay for it. Merit Assembly of God pays for it. It's like the radio program. We pay for it, but we can make this available to you. And one of the areas that they've got like over 20,000 different videos, and one of the areas that they have videos is in the area of apologetics, where you can present or where you can understand some of the aspects of faith that may not get covered on a weekly basis through preaching. So if you would like that, our address is 165 North Grove Street. You can also email Merritt Island, Florida, 32952. You can also email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. You can message us on Facebook. There, on our website, there's an email link that you can click on there that takes you to our email address as well. If you would like that, let us know so that you can grow in your faith. I've got a son-in-law, and that's what he does. He is constantly looking, because he did not come from a Christian background. He gave his life to Jesus, and he's all in. And so he engages people in conversations, just like Paul was doing here, so that he can help, you know, people to understand it is a perfectly reasonable thing to do to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. That's what Paul did. If you go back to Acts chapter 24, you will find that when Paul arrived in jail, if you will, the person who preceded Festus in that province was a guy by the name of Felix. And Felix's wife was of Jewish descent. And in verse number 24, it says this: "And after some days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. Now, as he, Paul, reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and judgment to come, Felix was afraid and answered, 'Go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I will call for you.' Meanwhile, he also hoped that money would be given him by Paul that he might release him. Therefore, he sent for him more often and conversed with him." So, Paul, it says here, was reasoning. And remember, reason here is soundness of mind. It is done in moderation, and it is done with discretion. Jesus had this to say to the disciples. He said, "I have many things to tell you, but you cannot handle them now." So when you are presenting the gospel to people who do not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, you need to be led by the Spirit of God, who knows the key to what is going to unlock that person's heart to faith. But you also need to be led by the Spirit, because the Holy Spirit understands what they can tolerate at this point in time. So I had a person one time, they were dealing with a believer that wasn't necessarily living their life 100% like a believer. And I don't know the person, never met the person. And the only reason that they came and talked to me was they were praying about the situation, and God said, "Go talk to Pastor Bob." Wasn't part of our church. The believer, the person that asked me was, but I didn't know the person at all that they were dealing with. And so they described the situation to me, and they said, how should I respond? But I really don't think that you can give me an answer that I haven't already thought of. And my response was a question. And the question was this: how long have they been a Christian? And they burst out laughing. because they had not considered that into the equation. And so I don't know what they ended up doing with that situation. I don't know how well the person responded. They could have been living that way for quite some time and not felt convicted about it at all. That would have been a problem. But if they had just given their heart to Jesus, the Holy Spirit was going to walk with them and through that process, I believe, would lead them to a much more righteous and holy lifestyle. So Felix was having conversations with Paul, and I believe that he enjoyed the conversations. It said that he sent for him often. Now, he was looking for a bribe, but Paul wasn't going to play that game. But Felix still conversed with him over and over again until Paul would touch on these three subject matters. It says, now as he reasoned or conversed with him about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid and said, go on, I'll talk to you later. You see, there are some things about faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and faith in the Word of God that make people uncomfortable. As Christians, we need to be comfortable. Pay attention to how I say this. We need to be comfortable with the Holy Spirit making us uncomfortable, because the Holy Spirit knows more about what's going on inside of us many times than what we do ourselves. And the Holy Spirit is wanting to bring us to Jesus so that areas of our life can become more and more submitted to His Lordship, so He can get greater glory for the Lord Jesus Christ in those areas of our life. And so anytime the Holy Spirit comes gently knocking on your door, that's not a bad thing. That's a great thing. I've told you here on the radio program that one day I was praying, and God convicted me about just an attitude that I had, and I don't remember the situation or the details or anything like that. I just remember saying, God, seriously, with everything going on in the world right now, and you know, this is probably 15 years ago, there was stuff going on in the world then too. With everything going on in the world right now and all of the different things going on in people's lives, and you want to touch, you know, that little bitty thing in my life so that I, you know, is that, you know, really the way you operate? And he said, do you really want me to operate by a standard where I ignore the small things in your life until they grow into big things in your life? And I said, no, sir, I stand corrected. I want you to deal with the small things in my life, because they're a lot easier to deal with than when they become full-grown problems. Don't want that at all. So Felix would talk to him until he would reach a place, and he's like, you know what, you're getting a little close to home here. And the three things were righteousness. I want to tell you that righteousness for a believer is a gift from God that is meant to be exercised. It is not meant to be optional for your life or my life. It's supposed to be the common lifestyle of believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember a celebrity headline from a few years back where a person was speaking the name of Jesus, but not living like a believer in Jesus. And it became a full-fledged headline-grabbing story. And the person that was in Paul's position in this case, who was touching, you know, and saying, you know, there's a better way. They were made out to look unreasonable, and in reality, the person that they were talking to, there was no difference in their lifestyle and an unbeliever's lifestyle. Righteousness is very important. We've already talked about that pretty much in depth. But the second thing that Paul would discuss with him was self-control. So let's talk about self-control. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Another translation says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear or timidity, but of power and of love and self-control. The fruit of the Spirit is self-control. Now, we live in a time that is completely foreign to the way of thinking that when I was brought up. In our day and time, you were brought up and expected to control yourself. You see, control is something we are either going to activate as a gift from God in our life, or we're going to get to a place where someone else will have to control ourselves for us. Now, when you're young, you know, there's a growing process, there's a dependency upon your parents and many times siblings and teachers and things like that. And everything about that is not only to equip you intellectually, but it is also to equip you so that you are able to exert some level of control in your life. So there should be control of your behavior. There should be control over your words. There should be control over your thoughts. There should be control over your spending. There should be control over your eating. See, we in 2022 want to put blame on everybody else, anybody else, somebody else, but there's one person whose fault it cannot be, and that's us. So I tell people, I say, yeah, I've got this shape because my parents got me addicted to food when I was a child, and I've needed food multiple times a day ever since. Well, you know, that's a joke. I tell people, you know, when they commend my wife's cooking, I was like, yeah, she is a wonderful cook, and she is phenomenal cook. I said, I had a 29-inch waist when I married her. I've got a 29-inch waist now. It's just got a few more numbers added to it. So, you know, but all of those are just excuses. When you get right down to it, it is not our heritage. It is not our background. It is not anybody else's fault that I have strongholds in my life other than mine. There may have been people who did horrible things, people who said terrible things. There may be some challenges that I had in my life that didn't allow me some of the advantages that other people had, but I have missed a lot of opportunities all by myself. And so maybe a great message for America and the world in 2022, maybe a great message for Congress is, hey, let's stop blaming everybody other than ourselves, and let's exhibit some self-control. Let's stop spending more than we have. That I know that means that you can't give away. Listen, there are a lot of people who are very generous with other people's money. But we need to show some restraint. I know that makes you susceptible to not getting reelected, and that would be hard on egos and stuff like that. but self-control is a kingdom principle. And then the last thing that Paul writes to Festus, or he converses with him, he reasons with him, he rationalizes with him, is this: the judgment to come. And the way that I like to phrase that is there is a day of accountability that is coming. So we're going to be having our annual business meeting here in a few weeks, and we will be giving an account to the congregation. We give an account to the board. You know, we do not have a miscellaneous fund or a slush fund and say, oh well, it just falls into that category. We can account for every penny. Every penny. And I've told our congregation, as like, look, I can stand here and not be concerned at all about having to give an account to you, because I live under a higher calling than that. I know that one day as pastor, I'm going to have to give an account to God for the spending. So you're not going to find a whole lot of lavishness. We are really good stewards of God's resources, or that's our goal. And it all comes down to accountability. There's a scripture that just terrifies me. It's this: you're going to have to give an account for every word. Every word. You want another scripture that will, you know, keep you humble and repentant? God knows the thoughts and intents of your heart. He knows the things that you think, that you provide safe harbor for in your mind, but don't ever cross your lips. I'm thankful for the delete button, on social media and things like that, because every once in a while you want to type something and say, nah, doesn't edify, doesn't encourage, doesn't comfort. Would it make me feel better? Maybe, until the Holy Spirit convicted me and said, we need to deal with that. Now, the great news about accountability for believers is this: when we live a repentant lifestyle where we are regularly putting our shortcomings under the blood of Jesus and saying, Lord, forgive me, I blew it again. Didn't mean to, but I got carried away and said something I shouldn't have said something in a tone I shouldn't have said it in. God, would you forgive me for not representing you well? And then he forgives us, because he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So Paul would talk to Felix about righteousness and self-control and the judgment to come. And the concept of judgment to come for an unbeliever is terrifying. The judgment to come for a believer is a reward ceremony, not a sentencing hearing. That's really what we're looking at the Great White Throne Judgment for unbelievers, is the guilty verdict has already been placed, because John 3:17, he who believes not in the Son stands condemned already. That's the February the 18th, paraphrase version of Bob Arthur's paraphrase. If you haven't asked Jesus to forgive you of your sins, you're condemned already. The Great White Throne is just the sentencing of that. But for believers, we stand before a different throne. We stand forgiven. And he says, okay, now let's see what stands by faith. Let's see what stands out for the glory of God. And there's going to be some loss. There's going to be some things that don't stand for the test, but there's going to be other things that come forth glorious. And so I don't want you to say, no, I don't, you know, I know that to whom much is given, much is required, but I want to put it to you in a different light here on a Friday. Know the Word of God. Know what you believe. Know why you believe it. Be able to give an account for it, because we're trying to reach as many people with the gospel of Jesus Christ as possible. Paul would talk to a jailer. He would talk to another prisoner. He would talk to a king. He would talk to a governor. He would talk to a judge. It didn't matter who he was talking to. He said, I want everybody to be just like I am, except for these chains. On Monday, we'll pick up again in Acts chapter 26 and go through some of Paul's testimony there. But I do want to take this opportunity to invite you to Merit Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida, 32953. I would love to see you at church on Sunday, and we'll worship around the throne together. You have a great, great weekend. Make plans to be in God's house. We'll be back here Monday, right here on the Refresh Radio program.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Hi friends, Paul Esposito here, station manager of 91.5 FM, WMIE. God bless you. Thanks for joining us here today and this weekend. I just want to let everyone know that our fundraiser, known as The Offering, is kicking off this Monday morning, the 21st. It's been quite a while since we've been on the air with a fundraiser. Actually, it's been a year since we didn't have one in the fall last year. We had an emergency fundraiser toward the end of the summer, early summer, to help us raise the money for a new transmitter, which we have now, praise God, thanks to all of you. We're raising $37,000 here this time around to cover us until next fall. We're over $19,300, thanks to all of you who have already responded by mail to the letter you received about a month ago. So again, Monday morning around 7 o'clock or so, well, we'll be on the air all week from Monday through Friday, raising up the remaining balance. We're trying to get up to $37,000. We're over the halfway point. We're almost at $20,000 right now. The number here, 632-1000. You also can give online by going to WMIEFM.com. And more info, too, on how you can text your donation here to the radio station. So, okay, everyone, have a wonderful weekend. God bless. We'll see you back here live on Monday. We won't be preempting programs, but we'll be coming in between programs, updating you, taking your phone calls here all day at 321-632-1000.
You shelter me in peace flows.